About a person's brain, a person's mind, the ability to reason, to think. On Daf Ayin Aleph, I want to go over. He says, like that. He's not even going to talk about that the brain allows you to function, but he's talking about the Ruchni Yistika. On Daf Ayin Aleph, Amar Aleph, the paragraph starts with the word Va'asher La'otzim Tovas Hashem, and we'll start with the fourth line. And then he goes into the ruchnius, like the primary thing you have out of seichel is that you're aware of Hashem. You see, he doesn't even say awareness. He really says much deeper than awareness. He says to prove, to reason, because he went through Shaar HaYichud with proofs. And the Chavit Halodos himself, if you weren't here for Shaar HaYichud, acknowledged that there's really many times there's no such thing as absolute proof for some things. There are some things which, you know, you could always say, well, maybe not, but if it's eminently reasonable and extremely logical and compelling, that's called a proof. So here, yesterday I said it over, he says it much stronger. He doesn't just say awareness of Hashem. He says learning, because he holds as a chiyuv to deduce that there's a Hashem. So that's what he refers to here. Mehem halamida bo berayos sheyesh lanu borei chacham echad yochid umiyuchad. I won't translate all these words. These are philosophical ideas about the nature of Hashem. Kadmon, always existed. Yochol, omnipotent. Lo yichlo leuzman, he's lamalo min azman, which it's funny he should say that. I mean, we're aware that he's lamalo min azman, but I think the human mind cannot visualize or imagine being lamalo min azman. We can think of examples, a guy watching a play and he knows how it's going to turn out already, but the actors have free will to act how they want, but it's all examples. But to actually imagine Zman not existing, I don't think a person's capable of it. Because
is he saying that someone could understand this?
I don't know. He just has to mean the awareness that Hashem is Lamalam in Azman. That's all. He's not limited by Zman. But we don't really know what it means. That's my point.
Right.
We just say the words. And he's not limited by Makom. Yisroel Mami Torah on Evroim, he's really unfathomable, it's indescribable. We just use words that we can relate to with our seichel, but we are aware that Hashem is not really Rachum, so to speak, and he's not really Chanun, he just is. And everything just flows from that. Midimyon HaNimtzom, Rachum V'Chanun, Umeitim, Lo Yidmel HaMu'umah, Lo Yidmel HaMu'umah. So that is the greatest Chesed Hashem, that we're aware of Hashem. And that's really the name of the game, as we said yesterday. That's what it's all about. That's what life's all about. That we are aware, that we can learn Shaar HaBechina, that you can sit here with Rabbi Milinowitz and learn Chesed HaLoda Shaar HaBechina. That's a Chesed Hashem. That there's more than three people here, that's certainly a nace. I consider that that's an amazing nace. V'chiyuv mishmato, and the totso'o of that we then have to serve Hashem. And we talked about this yesterday, that's the foundation stone of, according to the Chavis HaLovas, of serving Hashem, the Hakaras HaTov for everything He does for us. The Neshu Roy Lekach, it's appropriate to do so. Ubiglau Tovoso HaKlolis, what He bestows Tova upon the whole world. V'protis. I think I mentioned someone talked about it with me a few weeks ago. He had trouble dealing with the idea that Hashem is a mative. And it's really fundamental to our understanding of Hashem. If we don't think that Hashem is a mative, then we can't really be sure that things are for our good, and we can't have bitachon. And part of bitachon, the Chavetz Chaim Rebbe says, is believing in a reward and punishment system. And if it's not good, if like the Greek mythology actually have evil gods, they have that. So it's interesting. The Shaila is, I mean, it's really getting off on a tangent. The philosophy of Hashem's goodness, his innate goodness, that he's good, is that part of his essence? We believe it is. I mean, the Ramchal says it is. As close as we're going to get to understanding the nature of Hashem, I think, is in the Ramchal, is in Derech Hashem, and in the Ramchal's other Sforim. And saying, does Hashem have to be native, is just as silly a question, so to speak, silly. No, that's the nature of Hashem. You can say Hashem created a world in which X, Y, Z is good and A, B, C is bad. But you can't say, and you can say Hashem could have created a world where 2 plus 2 is 5. We believe that Hashem created the best possible world, but, it's okay if Hashem would have made murder good and helping someone change a flat tire bad. Okay, that's cool, that's fine. But you can say Hashem could have created a world in which bad, you can say, where what we now, you could say, I think, that Hashem could have created a world in which what we now call bad would be good, and what we now call good would be bad. But ultimately, Hashem is good. Hashem does good. That is innate in Hashem's nature. That's not like Hashem could have made himself be bad. That's like saying the old rock that Hashem can't pick up. It's a silly question. Okay. I call it silly because it's silly. Because it's only our concept of inability is that Hashem can't do something. But if you say Hashem can't be evil, that's not a chisorin, it's not an inability, it's not a lack. It's because of Hashem's nature. Because Hashem is good. But it is part of Hashem's nature. That it's part of a Jew's bedrock belief. And if you think about it, if you don't believe that Hashem is native, then everything falls away. Then you can't deal with life, and you can't serve Hashem. It goes into the system of justice, and justice is good. I don't mean he has to have rachman. He has to have rachman. That was a system that we're told by Chazal that Hashem saw the world wouldn't exist in a midah of din. But the real tov is din. The ultimate best kind of tov is din. Why Hashem chose to create a world? When you learn that Rashi, you're sort of into Hashem, you really should ask a very basic question. Why did Hashem create a world? If the world should really logically be fully din, because Hashem is din, right? No freebies. Okay, he then saw that it couldn't be miskayim b'midas hadin, so it had to have a dolap of rachamim. But okay, now what? But really, it's a very logical question to ask: why did Hashem create a world if din is the best of all possible worlds, ultimately? And tzaddikim only want midas hadin, etc. So then, I think it's a logical question to ask: why did Hashem create a world which couldn't exist unless there's rachamim? Hashem was creating the world. He could have created a world which could exist with din. Like he didn't. Hashem could have done anything.
Mean because he made a pity of the world.
No. Why did he create a world which couldn't exist through din?
But it's b'di'evit now, because it's the din.
Sort of b'di'evit. It's not b'di'evit, right? So the question is, it sounds like it's b'di'evit. Why? Like, yeah. So, and the answer is probably because Hashem, okay, it's like the words are funny, because Hashem had to balance two things. On one hand, din is emes, and din is more tov, and din is the right way to go. But I guess, like, there's always the issue, like, we always have to feel that ultimately Hashem is deciding to give us tov. Like, we don't really deserve anything. So on one level, the ultimate tov is din. But on another level, that's really not so good, because then we feel entitled. And we're really not entitled, because Hashem didn't have to create us in the first place. So the way I understand it is, like, that was a bigger sakana, that a person would feel entitled and would lose his sense of being dependent on Hashem for everything that he has, because I deserve it. So the tzaddik, so Hashem made a world which can't exist with midas hadin, so we're always dependent on Hashem's rachman, so we never lose that. So, like, so the good person will never lose that sense of always being dependent on Hashem. He doesn't ultimately deserve it. The reason tzaddikim, wrote down in Sforim, want to be judged with midas hadin, I think, is because tzaddikim, we're talking about people who are confident that they won't fall into the trap of feeling entitled, and therefore, if a person could be sure of not falling into the trap of a sense of entitlement, then it's certainly a bigger tova for him to be judged with midas hadin than with midas harachamim. Okay, anyway, so what did I have to do with the chayim halavos? I forgot. But that Hashem is a meitiv. Right, that's innate in Hashem's essence. U'v'seichel yisboru lanu sefer Torah sahanes, that we learn Torah. This is like, and he's going through the ruchniyustik of benefits of seichel, that we understand Torah, we bond with Hashem through chokhmah, we learn, we understand. Shenitnu lanu adidei shluchu alav hashalom Moshe Rabbeinu, asher hiskal nubo, we understand Torah. Okay, period. Ulfi erich seichel ha'odam v'havchonoso. Now this is maybe a depressing sentence. According to the amount of seichel and understanding that a person has, and knowledge, knowledge entails responsibility. Knowledge entails, like Moshe Rabbeinu, more is expected of Moshe Rabbeinu. The more you understand the nature of Hashem, the more you'll learn Shar HaBechina, then the more obligated you are to feel a sense of karas atol. It's not, you can never go on vacation. You have to learn, you have to understand, and the more you learn and the more you understand, the more you have to perform. There's no, right? No, it's a rough life. You have to learn. You have more achrayas, more responsibility. You have to teach. You have to share with others. You have to do. You have to learn. It doesn't end. I mean, it ends, you know. At the end of the day, it ends when they cover you with earth. That's when it ends. So, how much? 120 years of work, that's all. Not that long.
Says it again, I didn't understand the translation.
From where?
The sentence.
Ulefi Erech Seichel?
Yeah.
And according to the measurement of Seichel Ha'odov V'Havchanoso, meaning Shar HaBechino, what he perceives, Yiyah HaCheshbon V'Hadikdik Olov, Hashem's reckoning with him, and Hashem's demands of him, will be more. According, it'll be on a slide, it'll be for
proportional. They'll demand more from him.
If you understand more, Hashem demands more. There's no, you can never rest on your laurels until ultimately we know what Chazal tell us. They are expected to be very, very careful about everything they do. Someone who's, we see a shotis potter min hamitzvos, he's going to say now. We see it all boils down to seichel. So this is a tremendous thing that we have seichel and we serve Hashem with it, and we understand that Hashem has demands of us. You want to be a shaita? So then you'll be potter from everything. Umisha nifkat seichlo. Mistalkos mimenu amailos manushias. So he's not a human. It's like he's not human, like an animal, right? It's one of the tzlan. You see people who are not rational. Ashotim, technically, halachically. He's not talking about people who are not sharp, who are not what we call smart. He's talking about people who don't have their rational faculties. So, he's not a person. He's talking about mechuyav mitzvos. You want Hashem should have no demands on you? okay, pray to Hashem, you become a shaita, and then apart from all the mitzvahs, you can go have your cheeseburger. Okay, we'll stop here.